Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Ksuvos is daf Chav Gimel. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is learning Lezecher Nishma Saliba Gabriela Bashmua. We are in Chav Beis Amud Beis. We're towards the top of the Amud, and let's get some context. Let's get our bearings. We started a new mission yesterday on Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph. That brings us back to the topic of Apesha Asar Hu Apesha Hitter. The second paragraph of Ksuvos really thematically is one theme. It's one basic topic with a couple of applications. The one application that took the second paragraph for a bit of a detour away from Ishus, away from marriage, away from Ksuva, is the topic of Kim Shtaros, the authentication of a document. But now we're back. Chav Beis brought us back to the topic of marriage and of Kiddushin, but we're still talking about Apesha Asar Hu Apesha Hitter. And the Mishnah illustrated this with two examples. So just to review the two examples in the Mishnah, one example in the Mishnah, whereas a woman comes and she says, you know, let me give some information about herself. She comes into town, nobody knows who she is, no one has any history on her, and she says, you know, I was married, but also I was divorced. Okay, you have a divorce document? She says, no. Okay, she's credible. Why is she credible? Because she's the one who told us she was married. So Apesha Asar Hu Apesha Hitter. So that's one classic example of that. The Mishnah then gives a second example where a woman comes into town and she reports, you know, I was held in captivity. And the general assumption is that a woman's held in captivity, had relations with a non-Jew, not willingly, but even still, she's not allowed to marry a Kohen after that fact. But she's the one telling us that she was held in captivity. We didn't know without her. And then what happens is that she also declares herself to be Tahara. She says that I was pristine and I was not violated. So she's allowed to marry a Kohen. That's, again, the principle of Apesha Asar Hu Apesha Hitter.
Woman has a relationship without getting married
with a Jew.
With a Jew.
Mm-hmm. It's an important detail. Then the Mishnah goes on to say, but if there are witnesses who gave us this information prior that she did, so then she doesn't have the power of Apesha Asar Hu Apesha Hitter. What if she reported that she was either married or held in captivity? And she's also reporting that she's either divorced or pristine in either one of the cases. And witnesses come after that point in time. So that the Mishnah talked about, but we're not totally sure what the Mishnah meant at the very end. So later this morning, in just a short couple of minutes from now, we're going to go over the end of the Mishnah. And we're going to hopefully get a better shot of what the Mishnah meant at the very end. Finishing up a review. Yeah, yesterday we also introduced ourselves to the concept of a matla. A matla is basically justification, some sort of good excuse in terms of why it is that he or she said what they said, to help us understand two inconsistent statements, meaning that, let's say, they make one statement and then they make another statement, which it goes right in the face against the first statement. So can you believe them on the second statement after they said the first? So the Gemara says, "Amat lav." They have an excuse why they said the first statement. So then, yes, you can. An example: the Gemara said yesterday, a woman says to her husband, "You know, I'm an Ida." She declares it. No evidence, nothing, just her declaration. Fine. And then afterwards, she says, "No, I'm not an Ida." And what happened between statement number one and statement number two? So if she gives a good explanation, what the Gemara refers to as an amatla, so she's believed. Okay, and then the Gemara then awkwardly finished off that discussion with Shmuel, whose wife told him that she was an Ida, and then gave an explanation why she said that, and Shmuel nevertheless wasn't with her until she told him in the mikvah. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, we are continuing from that very point in time, but we're going to go back to the basic topics of testimony and her ability to remarry. We are three lines down on the top of Chav Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara quotes a Braisa. Shai Marmim Meisur, Shai Marmim La Meis. Two witnesses come and said that your husband died, and two witnesses said the husband did not die. Shai Marmim Nizgarsha, Shai Marmim La Nizgarsha. Two witnesses come and say that she was divorced, two witnesses that she was not divorced. So the Braisa says that she's not allowed to marry. What you have is Eidim Amachishim Zedzeh. You have the witnesses disagreeing with one another, and so therefore she's not in a position where she can marry. The Nisis Lo Seitzeh, but if she does get married, she doesn't have to. She doesn't have to divorce. Rabbi Menachem, Rabbi Yossi, Omer Teitzei, and Rabbi Menachem, Rabbi Yossi says no. She's got to get a divorce. Okay. Amar Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Yossi Masai Neomer Tetze Bizman Shabal Eidim Va'acha Kach Nises. That's only if the witnesses come and afterwards she gets married. Aval Nises Va'acha Kach Bo Eidim Lo Tetze. But if first she got married and then afterwards the witnesses come afterwards, so then she doesn't have to get a divorce. Okay. The Ad Kan that takes us to this end of the Brisa, and the Gemara just wants to understand Michti. Gemara says, we're struggling. Treu Trei Nenu, so Habala Basham Talukai. So the Gemara says, I'm not totally following. What we have over here are two contradictory sets of witnesses. So what's good, the Gemara refers to as Treu Trei. Treu Trei simply means two witnesses are giving one report, two witnesses are giving a totally different report. So what does that mean regarding the status of her husband? We simply don't know. Meaning, let's go to the case of death. Two witnesses said that he's dead, two witnesses said that he's not dead. Okay, so what does that mean? It means we don't know. We're in a stalemate in terms of knowledge of whether the husband's alive or dead. And what did the Brisa say? The Brisa said, well, if she marries, then she could stay with her second husband. Well, what do you mean? We have two witnesses who said that her husband may not, in fact, be dead. So the Gemara describes this as Habala Basham Talui. A man who has relations with her is obligated to bring a Karban Hashem Talui. Karban Hashem Talui, remember, we've discussed this time and again. That's a unique carbon where one brings if he or she possibly violated an Isser Kares. Over here, she possibly is a married woman, meaning she was married. The starting point of the discussion is the Chazaka, she was married, and now did the marriage terminate? We're not sure. Two sets of witnesses giving us contradictory information. And now the Brisa says, well, she could stay with her second husband. Stay with her second husband. The Gemara says, how could that possibly be? So the Gemara says, Amrav Sheshes Kigon, Shenisas Lechameyadaham. So the Gemara says, we're describing a scenario where she married one of the witnesses. Okay, certainly falls under the category of suspicious behavior, but, in other words, a person could serve as a witness testifying that the woman died, and then we did this back in Yevamos. And then, if he wants to, he can marry her. Now, to the Gemara's question of, doesn't he have to bring a Karban Hashem Talui? No, because he's one of the witnesses who's testifying that her husband's dead. From his perspective, he's sure. He knows that the husband's dead. He, together with one other person, testified that the husband's dead. So from his perspective, the husband's dead. So the Gemara says, so fine. That helps him and his case. So he gufa basham talu kaima. So the Gemara says, okay, but that only helps him. What about her? Meaning now let's look at it from her perspective. What does she know? She knows she was married. She knows her husband went away. She's not sure of whether her husband's dead or not. Two witnesses reported he's dead. Two witnesses said, no, he's not. So the Gemara says, okay, so from the man's perspective, we said he's okay because he's one of the witnesses who said that he's dead. But the Gemara says, okay, but that only helps him. What about her? To which the Gemara says, Balmer is Bari Li. So the Gemara says, we're talking about Bari Li. I know that my husband's dead. I know that my husband's dead. Interesting Rashi. Let's take a look at Rashi together. Balmer is Bari Li. Ain libi nakfo shabari li ilu hayakayim hayaba. So she says, I have a guilt-free conscience, right? My heart is not pounding. I know with certainty that he's in fact dead. Two witnesses told me that he's dead. Now I know that there are another set of witnesses, but barili. I know with certainty. Okay, so this is how Rav Sheshes explains the Brisa, and this is how we're going to understand how even though two witnesses said that her husband's not dead, but because two witnesses said that the husband's dead, and that's credible information, so she and the man and her new husband can remain married. And again, according to Rav Sheshes, that's only talking about a scenario in which she married one of the witnesses, so he knows for sure. In other words, there's no suffix, and she herself. So again, an interesting svar of the Gemara, what's called Bari Li. Meaning, him marrying her is after he provided the testimony.
Maybe it's some time interval, right?
I don't know. Meaning, it sounds fair, it sounds reasonable, but I don't know. Okay, but he's not Nogei Badavar at the time when he's offering the testimony. After having given testimony, then he marries her, and again, I'm in agreement. It's certainly suspicious. It will raise suspicion. The cynics amongst us are going to say, that's strange. I understand that. But at the time when he's offering the testimony, he was just offering testimony.
How could they marry without them getting authorization in advance?
No, in other words, two witnesses said that the husband died.
When did she get married? After or before?
Well, again, the Braisa itself recorded two opinions on the matter. Rav Nachman, Rav Yossi, the second opinion on the matter says is that that she needs to get a divorce, but that's only if the witnesses come and then afterwards she got married. But if she got married and then the witnesses come, so then she does not have to leave. That's the opinion of Rav Nachman, Rav Yossi.
What about the woman comes and says by herself, be accepted.
Good.
There's no witnesses needed.
Okay, good, because she's serving as a witness. But we're discussing over here where she doesn't have any knowledge, she doesn't know, or the only information she's getting from the witnesses. Okay. Okay, two witnesses said that her husband is dead. Two witnesses say that he's not dead. So she's not allowed to marry because, again, she's not in a position where she knows. But if she gets married, so then she can remain in that marriage. But let's say, almost identical case, but instead of the two witnesses, the two sets of witnesses arguing about the death of her husband, what they're arguing about, husband's alive and well, what they're arguing about is, did he issue a divorce, did he not? And obviously, there's no actual divorce document, because if there was, then this whole discussion would be irrelevant. But, excuse me, with no divorce document, two sets of witnesses said that a divorce was issued, and two said, never happened. She's not allowed to. She's not allowed to get married. And if she does get married, so then she's got to get a divorce. To which the Gemara says, just give me a moment. To which the Gemara says, Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa. Gemara says, what? What just happened? Meaning, Rav Yochanan offered two halachas, and they're side by side, and they seem to be inconsistent. Let's go over both halachas. In the first halacha, Rav Yochanan, where it's two against two, and they're arguing about the death of the husband, so Rav Yochanan says, look, she shouldn't get married, but if she does, it's okay. Lechatchila versus Bidyevin. Then, in a parallel scenario, where the two sets of witnesses are arguing about whether she got a divorce or not, so Rav Yochanan says, you know, in that case, not only should she not get married, but if she does, we're gonna extract her from her second husband, because that marriage cannot be. The Gemara says, "Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa." What's the difference between the two? Amar Abayi, Tirgam Abayid Echad. So, to this question of what's the difference between the two, the Gemara is going to spend the remainder of this Amud, yesterday's Daf, the remainder of this Amud, searching for an explanation to this question. It's such a basic question. So, here we go now. Approach number one. There are three approaches altogether. Approach number one. Amar Abayi, Tirgam Abayid Echad. Abayi says we're talking about one witness. Yeah, that's first of all, just...
But
it's a tricky pshat. Thank you, I was going to make that point. But it's good. It's a tricky pshat. First of all, we're not explaining a braisa right now, we're explaining a statement by Rav Yochanan. And generally speaking, the Amoraim, in other words, the braisas, as we've seen time and again throughout Shas, it's open to interpretation, and even at certain times, it's even open to editing. Not you and I. Obviously, the Amoraim. And over here, we're talking about a statement to Rav Yochanan, and the statement says explicitly too, so I'm in agreement. This first pshat in the Gemara is a little bit tricky, but if you can get over that, if you can get past that, so the Gemara the answer is going to work, but the textual problem still remains. But Amar Abayi Tirgam Abayid Echad, we're talking about where there's one witness. So now we're going to understand the difference very clearly, assuming that's one witness. Eidechad Omer Meisa Menu Rabban Kebe Trey Uchid Ula. We go back to what we learned back in Yevamos. In the 10th, 14th, and 15th parak of Yevamos, we spent three prakim talking about what happens when one man testifies that a woman's husband died. What do? We believe him. Or it doesn't even have to be a him. It could be a her. In other words, the Chachamim were Mekel. And what the Chachamim are saying is that when one comes over and testifies, Hem Nuhu Kibetre, they treat that one like two. So now that one comes to testify and says that your husband's dead, so that one now, halachically, is just as good as two witnesses. Anywhere where the Torah believes one witness, so they believe him as two. Okay, and by the way, the language of the Gemara over here is super interesting, because the Gemara says, well, the Torah believes one. Torah believes one. This, as we talked about, three prakim during Yevamos, is that it's a takana de rabbanan, it's a rabbinic institution. So the language of the Gemara over here is certainly interesting, when the Gemara over here says, shemnu Torah. But either way, so that one is treated like two. Now you do have one other witness saying that the husband's not dead, but what is that? That's one witness. One witness against the halachic equivalency of two witnesses. So that's one against two. One against two, you're going to lose. So the Gemara says that's a great explanation. Again, getting past the textual issues. But that's a great explanation, but the Gemara says, okay, but now, once we have a Takana Durabanan that allows a woman to remarry based on the testimony of one witness, so why is Rav Yochanan saying she really shouldn't get married, but b'di'evad it's okay? Lechatchila, let her get married. Mishum de Ravasi, Dam Ravasi, the Gemara says, we did this back in Yavamos, Hasir Mimcha, Ikshus Peh, Ulezos Fasayim Harchek Mimcha. Do not become the topic of dinner table conversation. Obviously, dinner table conversation should not be talking about anybody. You should, keep the conversation about Torah and not about other people. Understood. But if you live in a way where you provide fodder for other people to discuss, so the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Mishlei, don't do that. Don't become the subject of other, so that allow other people to talk. So, it's true, halachically speaking, it's true, one witness reporting that your husband's dead allows her to remarry, but because there's one other witness saying that he's not dead, and again, halachically, it's fine, but one witness is now saying that reporting that the husband's not dead, and now you remarry, so it'll be the talk of the town, and hasir mimcha ikshus peh. Don't do that. So the Gemara, to which the Gemara says, but that's only lechatchila, but bidi evid, you're allowed to get married. Now we go on to case number two. Case number two, again, this is Rav Ashi's answer. It's one witness against one witness. One witness says she got a divorce, and one witness says she did not get a divorce. What are they both saying? I mean, let me rephrase that question. What are they both agreeing to? They're both agreeing to that she was married. That's a point of agreement. Tarvai beishis ish kamisade. They're both agreeing that she's married. That's a common denominator. Behind the common is garsha. Now, there's only one woman is saying that she got a divorce. Well, that's not going to work. Meaning, the special institution of the rabbis to allow to give credibility to one witness is only for the death of the husband, not for a divorce. To which the Gemara says, okay, that's a great answer to explain Rav Yochanan's statement. And again, there's a textual issue, which is that Rav Yochanan says two, and now we're Rav Ashi explaining as one. But aside from that, the answer works. Here we go now, a second suggestion of the Gemara in terms of how to understand Rav Yochanan. Rava says no. Let's go back to what Rav Yochanan says, that there are two sets of witnesses. Each set is comprised of two witnesses. Okay. Now, again, let's reset the question. Rav Yochanan first said that if two said the husband's dead and two said the husband's not dead, she shouldn't have married, but the evidence she does, so fine. Two say she got a divorce and two say she didn't get a divorce, she shouldn't remarry, and if she does, she's going to be removed from her second husband. To which the Gemara says, what's the difference? So here we go now. This is approach number two. La'olam chair training of Rav Yochanan, Rav Shal Rabbi Menachem Rav Yossi, Begerishim Velo Rabbi Misa. So the Gemara says that Rav Yochanan agreed to Rabbi Menachem Rav Yossi. The beginning of today's daf, remember, we saw the opinion of Rabbi Menachem Rav Yossi, who said that if a woman remarries, so then she can remain. When Rav Yochanan says, if the witnesses come before her marriage, let me say that better and correctly, if the witnesses come before she remarries, she can't remarry. If they come after, so then she can remain. But if they come before, so then she can't remarry. And now the Gemara says, Rav Yochanan agrees, but limited agreement. I agree with Rav Nachum, Rav Yossi, Begerishin, Velo Rabbi Misa, but not regarding death. My time, Misa in Yechola Mechachto, Gerishin Yechola Mechachto. So the Gemara says, and I'll tell you the difference. The difference between death and divorce goes as follows. Let's say, again, we're dealing with a scenario in which the woman's husband's died, and she doesn't know, but it's been reported by two witnesses. Followed then by two witnesses said that he's not dead. Okay. So now Rav Yochanan says, she shouldn't remarry, but if she does, okay. Why okay? Gemara says like this. Because look what she's doing right now. She's running a huge risk. Like we already discussed. Wait, just give me 1 second. She's running a huge risk. And like we discussed back in Yavamos with all the consequences. But more than all that, meaning all that's already important, but more than all that, if she says, look, I know my husband's dead, what's going to end up happening if her husband's alive and he walks back in is that it's going to, she told a bold-faced lie, and it'll be apparent. And that fear of having to tell a bold-faced lie is what keeps her honest. And so therefore, when two witnesses said the husband's dead, now, despite the fact that two other witnesses said that he's alive, but again, she's going to investigate, she's going to research, and there's no way that she's going to just simply cavalierly say, oh, don't worry, he's dead, and I'm going to remarry, if she doesn't know that to be absolutely so. When it comes to divorce, however, she could still keep maintain her story, even if there's denial. Meaning, two witnesses said that there was a divorce, two witnesses says not. And what is she going to say? Well, if she, well, she's going to remarry, and if contested and said, well, wait a second, two witnesses said there were no divorce, and even if the original husband comes and says, you know, I don't know what you're talking about, I didn't give you a divorce, she could still say, no, you did. And again, there's no get document over here, so there's nothing to fact check her. So to which the Gemara says, that's the difference between Misa and Gerushin. Misa, it's something where if she's telling a lie, it'll be apparent, and that'll put her more in check. As opposed to Gerushin, she could still maintain her lie.
Now, the thing is that in the case where the two witnesses came and has said that the husband died, right? That's a case where actually the court is certifying that he's dead. She's getting permission from the court. It's not a single.
I understood, but the case is more complex because there are two other witnesses who said he's not dead. Meaning,
time?
If you're right. In other words, before she moved on with her life, so to say, before she remarried. So, fine. In other words, in a simple case where all you have are the two witnesses testifying his death, she's fine. She can remarry. Right? And as we discussed back in Yavamos, that's better than one. Okay. Umichatzifa kulehai. The Gemara says now, what do we say regarding a woman? A woman's going to look at her husband in the eye and say, you know, you divorced me. That takes a lot of chutzpah, especially if she's telling a lie. The Gemara says, and generally, we cap chutzpah, right? I know we just recently discussed this a couple days ago in the daf, how we assume that there's a cap to how much chutzpah we have, to which the Gemara here is going to argue once again. There's got to be a cap. The Gemara here quotes the halacha of Rav Hamnuna, which is, Aisha Sharma Labala Girashani Ne'emenes. A woman looks her husband right in the eye and says, you know, you divorced me. Now again, does she have to get document? Obviously not, because then she wouldn't need to make the declaration. What's her husband saying in response? For the time being, let's just assume nothing. Is she telling the truth? Our assumption is yes, she is. She's telling the truth. Why? Because we have a presumption. A presumption is that a woman will not be that chutzpahdik to say that to her husband unless it were true. Much like a couple days ago we said, a person won't look at his creditor right in the eye and say, I don't owe you anything. People don't have that much chutzpah. To which the Gemara over here is saying, in a similar vein, a woman doesn't have that much chutzpah. So now the Gemara says that kind of is difficult for Rava. Remember, Rava constructed an answer based on the fact that it's going to be impossible for her to deny her husband's dead if he walks back in, but she'll continue denying that or claiming that her husband divorced her even though he did not. The Gemara says that's a lot of chutzpah. And we have a statement by Rav Hamnuna that women don't have that much chutzpah. People don't have that much chutzpah. To which the Gemara says, is Rav Hamnuna going against Rava? The Gemara doesn't articulate the question that way, but we can. So Hani Mila, the Gemara says, no. Hani Mila hechadaleke eidim dekamisayale, aval hechadike eidim dekamisayale, me'iza o me'iza. The Gemara says there's a difference between what Rav is saying and what Rav Hamnuna is saying. Rav Hamnuna is saying that if there is no witnesses supporting her claim, and all she's standing on right now is her claim, and she stands right up against her ex-husband, and she looks at him and she says in front of a Beis Din, you divorced me. Now again, what is he saying back in response to that? Unclear. But she says that, so then we're going to go with Rav Hamnuna's halacha. We assume that a woman does not have that much chutzpah, and therefore she must be telling the truth. Chazaka. What is Rava saying? Rava is saying that, remember, Rava is describing Rav Yochanan's case. What's Rav Yochanan's case? Two witnesses said that there was a divorce. What does that do to her? It emboldens her. It now gives her courage. Not in this case, not good courage. But now it gives her courage. It gives her that sense of, oh, you know what? Two witnesses said that he divorced me. Even if it's not true, I'll say it. And even if I'm looking right in the face, I'll say it. And she's emboldened by the fact that two witnesses said that she got a divorce. And the Gemara says that's the difference between what Rav is saying versus what Rav Hamnuna is saying. Okay. We're now up to the third approach. Again, Rav Yochanan said the halacha that two witnesses said he's dead, two witnesses said he's not dead. She shouldn't marry, but if she does, it's okay. Then Rav Yochanan made a second statement, which is, two say she got a divorce, two say she did not. She can't remarry, and if she does, Tetzei Mizeh. So here we have now, what's the difference between the two cases? So we had Rav Ashi's approach, we had Rav's approach, and we're up to the third and final approach. Rav Ashi Amar Kagon Da'ami Eidim Achshav Meis. Achshav Girsha. So Rav Ashi's example over here is that the witnesses are coming and they're saying, this is not history, this happened Hayom. Rashi says, just today, this happened. And now, Achshav Meis, Achshav Girsha. Misa like a Levrura. Now, as far as death is concerned, what other information can we work with? Meaning, that's it. Meaning, two witnesses are reporting that he died. Now, granted, two witnesses are reporting that he's not dead, but two witnesses report that he died. We're not going to get, well, I mean, we could get more information, but from her standpoint, she's right now operating with what she knows. But let's, however, compare that to Gerushin. Gerushin, Ika Livrura. But when it comes to Gerushin, again, what was the statement of the witnesses? She got a divorce today. Today, look, I understand losing the get a year after the divorce, 5 years after the divorce, okay, and maybe even a month after the divorce. But if the witnesses are saying she got a divorce today, it is totally within the expectation of Basin to say to her, you have the get? You have the document? To which the Gemara says, that's exactly the point. So, the basin has the right to say to her, the witnesses say you got a divorce today, and that's the third suggestion of what's the difference between the two cases of Rabbi Yochanan. Tanur Rabbanan, we're on the bottom of Chav Beis Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom, more discussion on this matter. The Gemara quotes the Braisa, Shnei Marmim Niskasha, Shnei Marmim Lo Niskasha, Hareza Lo Sinasei. Here, the two against two are talking about her Kiddushin. Two make the claim that she received Kiddushin from a man. Two said it never happened. The Imnisis Lo Seitzei, and she shouldn't Lichatchila marry another man, but if she does so, that's fine. Two witnesses say she got a divorce, two say she did not. Here she should not remarry, and if she does so, she basically will force her to divorce her second husband. What's the difference between the two cases? The Gemara's question seems to be strange. The answer seems to be self-evident. In fact, if you look at the first Tosos in our Amun, Chav Gimel Amun Aleph, the Im Tomar, Tosos writes, Shna Ushna. How can the Gemara ask what's the difference between the two cases when it's self-evident what the difference is between two cases? And that is, Dereisha Isan Lokman Becheskas Panuyah V'Seifa Becheskas Eishes Ish. Because think about it. Two witnesses are saying she could accept the Kiddushin, two said she's not. What are they both agreeing to? She was a single woman, and now we're asking the question of whether she received Kiddushin or not. We're not asking the question, but two are reporting yes and two are reporting no. What's their chazakah? She's a panuya. Okay, so I have the two witnesses equal but opposite, canceling each other out. So now we go back to the chazaka, she's a panuya. So she can marry another man. In the case of Gerushin, same argument, but let's start with the chazaka. What are the both sets of witnesses saying? She was married. Now it's a question of whether she got a divorce or not. So once again, the Edom HaMachishim Zedzeder, they cancel each other out. What does that leave us with the chazaka? What's the chazaka? She's married. So the Gemara asked the question, what's the difference? But to which Tosu says, what do you mean? The difference is what the starting point is, what the chazaka is. So see more of Tosu's for a suggested explanation of why the Gemara didn't just turn to such a basic distinction. Amar Abaye, so Abaye, we go back to the Gemara, Tirgum Abayit Echad. So the Gemara says, Abai's answer goes like this. We're talking now, it's not two witnesses, it's one witness. Now again, Ben, if you would like, you can also be bothered over here. Okay. It's where the Braisa does say the word Shnayim. Okay, but anyway, Eid Echad. So Eid Echad Omer Niskash, Eid Echad Omer Niskasha. Tarvaya Bipnui Kemisade. Vahad the common Niskasha, Havalei Chad, Vain Dvar Shacha Bamakam Shayim. Safe Eid Echad Omer Niskasha, Eid Echad Omer Niskasha. Tarvaya Bishishish Kemisade, Vahad the common Niskasha, Havalei Chad, Vain Dvar Shacha Bamakam Shayim. Now, Abaye basically says exactly what we just said, but with a little more complexity. And that is, one witness has said that she got a kedusha, one witness said that she did not. They're both agreeing to the fact that she started off as not being married, and now they're disagreeing of whether or not she got kedusha and did not. It's only one against one. It's really one against two, because the common denominator between the two is that she was a penuya, fine. So therefore, she is allowed to remarry. B'dieva, not lechatzchila, and maybe not lechatzchila, going back to what we said earlier. Because it's just... You know, she'll be the subject of rumors and allegations.
Shouldn't there be witnesses for erusin?
Yeah, in other words, there should be more information right now. But this is all we have to work with. And the second case, it's the same thing. One witness said she got a divorce, one witness said she did not. Again, we go turn to the common denominator between the two. They're both agreeing that she was married. And now only one witness is reporting a divorce. That's not enough. Okay, that is Abai's explanation of the Raisa. So Rav Ashi Amar, Chav Gimel Amid Aleph, we're a second explanation of the Braisa, La Olam Treu Tre. So Rav Ashi says it's two against two, and fits a little bit better with the language of the Braisa, V'epoch. And here's what we're going to do, we're going to reverse. Shnaim Amrim Re'inu Shiniskasha, Shnaim Amrim Lo Re'inu Shiniskasha. Two say we saw Kedushin, two say we did not see Kedushin. Hare Ze Lo Sina Sei. She is not allowed to marry. In fact, even b'di'evet, she's not allowed to be married. Which means that even if she marries another man, it's not a marriage. Okay, pshita, and why should that be? Because, and we talked about this concept recently, and we're going to now speak about it again. Lo re'inu enaraya. Concept goes like this. What is testimony? It's really a fundamental issue, fundamental question. What is testimony? Testimony is the seeing of something. The absence or the denial that something never happened is simply not testimony. When the two witnesses say that we saw Kedushin, good, that's testimony. Because what they're testifying to is that we saw something actually occur. What are the second set of witnesses saying? No, she never was married. She never was married. Or she never accepted Kedushin. You were there 7/24 by her side. Like, in other words, you really can testify that you saw, that you know that never happened? Lo re'inu enaraya. Just because you never saw it, that's not a proof. This takes me back many years, but the first discussion in Yerodea, right, the Mishnah in Chulin says that everyone can shecht. Hakol shochtin. Can women shecht? So it's right in the beginning of Yerodea. So either the Shach or the Taz, you'll forgive me, I didn't look it up, but one of them have the discussion, can women shecht? So he says, well, just because we never saw it, is not evidence of whether they can or they cannot. Meaning that can't be presented as an argument in either direction. Lo re'inu in araya. The fact that we didn't see it is not a proof. So Gemara over here says, same thing. Two witnesses say she never got kedushin. That's not testimony. That's not a riot. That's not a proof or anything. So therefore, what's our assumption? Therefore, she's married because two witnesses said she got married. It's not two against two. Lo tates. I'm sorry. So the imnises. I'm sorry. Lo reinu naraya. Lo tzricha dedari bechatz echad. So the Gemara says. I tell you what the Gemara is bothered by. This is such an obvious point. The Gemara says, well, maybe we can inject a little bit of a chiddush over here. Maybe it's talking about where they're living in the same courtyard. And maybe that could bolster their argument and say, look, we're around her all the time. We would have known. To which the Gemara says, that's a chiddush. Chiddush is, no, you can't make that claim. The fact of the matter is that you can't testify to the fact that something never happened. It's just not testimony. So, Gemara's just explaining the Havamina. I might have thought that if she, in fact, Kedushin occurred, we would have known about it. There would have been a party, a vort, a lechayim. We would have known about it. So, Kamash Malan, Davdin, Shetim, Akash, Bitsina. In other words, sometimes Kedushin is done very quietly, very modestly, very privately. There, it's not a legitimate claim for them to say she never got married. That's just not testimony. Seifa. Now that we explained the case of the kiddush, now let's go to the next case. Two witnesses said that we saw the gerushin. Two witnesses said that we never saw it. Okay, so they're married, and again, it could be based on the fact that she'll become the subject of dinner conversation. But b'di'evan, she can remarry. Why? So the Gemara says, because again, we're going to say the same thing. The two witnesses who saw the gerushin, good, they're testifying to witnessing an event. What are the other two testifying? That they never saw the divorce occur? That's not testimony. The absence of an action is simply not testimony. So the Gemara says, now that we went over the first case of the Braisa, so what new idea are we learning over here? The Gemara is bothered exactly by the question. Hainuach. Well, okay. Now all we're doing is repeating the Chiddush. The Gemara says the Braisas don't want to do that. So Mao Detam, the Gemara explains, well, no, I'll tell you what the Chiddush is. Gabi Kedushin Ahu Davidi Inshid Demikachi Bitsina. Gemara says when it comes to Kedushin is done more privately. Avagabi Gerushin Emisa de Igarsha Kela Islay. But when it comes to Gerushin, maybe there's more of a voice, maybe there's more. More people know. So Kala Islay Lamilsa Kamashwan David Inshid Demikache Umigarsha Bitsina. To which the Gemara says no. Gerushin is done privately and Kedushin is done privately. Kedushin is done privately and also Gerushin is done privately as well. It's interesting. The Gemara doesn't really explain why. In other words, intuitively the Gemara thought Kedushin is a more private matter than Gerushin. I mean, just based on our own experience of life, you can make an argument that people are more excited about Kedushin. It's more cause for celebration, more cause for people to talk. Gerushin, maybe you can argue the other direction. Maybe Gerushin, people talk about that as well. It's interesting. The Gemara feels intuitively that Gerushin has more kol.
The wedding and the show about for 7 days people showing up.
Right, correct. Agreed. I'm pointing out that we need to have a better understanding of why the Gemara assumes that Gerushin has more of a kol, even though Gemara ends up rejecting that both, and the Gemara says both could be done privately, but the Gemara entertained the idea that Gerushin has more of a kol. Could be based on the fact that Gerushin has to be done in front of a Beis Din, which to be frank and honest, the Gemara actually never says that, but that I know it's a discussion amongst the amongst the poskim, and by all Gerushin, it's accepted to have a Beis Din. So in other words, as opposed to Kedushin, where all you need are just two witnesses, by Gerushin you have the two witnesses and you have a Beis Din as well. So maybe that's why the Gemara thought that Gerushin is, you know, is a more public activity. Maybe. V'im shenisus bo edim lo teitzei. Okay. Now, we go back to our Mishnah. Okay, can we all take a look back now? Let's go. Yeah. So let's go back to our Mishnah. Remember the Mishnah on Chav Beis Amud Aleph had two cases. Case number one in the Mishnah was where the woman says, I was married, but then I got a divorce. Okay. Hapesh asur hapesh yeter. If witnesses, however, tell us that she was married, so then her credibility is totally compromised. Second case in the Mishnah, she admits that she was held in captivity, and then she was released. So again, good. Hapesh asur hapesh yeter. If witnesses tell us that she was held in captivity, so then she loses her position of credibility. Then the Mishnah says, "V'im mishenises bo edim." If the witnesses come after she got married, hareze lo seitzei, she's good. Now the Mishnah ends off with that last line. Is that last line going on? Case number one of the Mishnah, case number two of the Mishnah, or of course there's option C, which is maybe it's going on both cases of the Mishnah. That's what we're going to be discussing right now. Rabbi Yoshia masnil ha-reisha, Rabbi Baravav and masnil ha-seifa. Gemara says, machlokas. Machlokas amongst the Amoraim, whether it's going on the reisha or on the seifa. Now remember, let's think about this. The last line of the Mishnah is that she herself is reporting that she was married or she was taken into captivity. She herself is reporting, but I'm good. Either I got a divorce or I held myself pristine. In both of those cases, she's believed. If witnesses are the ones reporting this information, what does the Mishnah say? That then she's not believed. If she gets married and then witnesses come to report, she doesn't have to get a divorce. So, man demasne la reisha. Now, if that last line of the Mishnah is going on the first case of the Mishnah, kol shekena sefer, for sure, it's going to go on the sefer as well. Why? Because, Gemara explains, debishvuya hikilu. Because a woman taken into captivity, which is case number 2 of the Mishnah, generally speaking, the chachamim were meiko. Meaning, yes, it's true, there is a default assumption that she unfortunately was violated, and she cannot marry a kohen. However, what allows her to maintain her cheskas kashrus is either where she self-reports, but again, her self-report is only going to work if she is the one who told us that she was under captivity, or even if she doesn't self-report, even Eid Echad. One witness will be allowing her to keep her cheskas kashrus by shvuya, by a woman held in captivity. And that just indicates that by shvuya, we tend to be more mako. If you allow her self-reporting to maintain her marriage in the first case, where that was the case where she admits she was married, and then she identifies herself as being a grusha, and even though witnesses come, she can maintain her second marriage. So in that case over there, where we're talking about, that's not shvuya. That's talking about her being an eshes ish, and we're going to be mekel. We're for sure going to be mekel in the case of shvuya, because anyway, we know the chachamim were mekel by shvuya. Man demasel ha-sefa, but if you learn that last line of the Mishnah is only going on the case of shvuya, so then aval reisha lo, but not necessarily the reisha. And lema b'derav hamanun kemiflegi. The man demasel ha-reisha is le derav hamanuna, man demasel ha-sefa is le derav hamanuna. And the Gemara suggests, and maybe what they're arguing about is, once again, we're going to go for a second time today and discuss how much chutzpah does a person have. Rav Hamanuna says that a woman will not approach her husband, her ex-husband, and say, you divorced me unless it's true. And maybe that's what is that issue over here? The Gemara says, that's not true. Everyone agrees to Rav Hamanuna that if a woman looks at her ex-husband in the eye and says, you divorced me, she's believed. Rav Amnun only said that if she approaches her ex-husband directly. However, if she doesn't have to make the statement in front of her ex-husband, so then maybe she will have the chutzpah and the temerity to say something which is a lie. And the other position is that no, even shalabafanav, a woman would not have the temerity to say that he divorced me if in fact it wasn't true. So maybe the Gemara says that's the machlokus between when we're going to apply that last line of the Mishnah. Let's continue. V'imish nisus ba'edim. Amar v'udah shmo lo niseis niseis mamish ela kevan shi'iti ru'ali nasei af apishlo niseis. V'udah shmo has a kula. He has the following leniency. What did we learn in our Mishnah? She comes back and she reports that she was held in captivity. She then reports, but I was fine. I was pristine. Apesha asur or apesha iter. Fine. Then she marries a kohen. What do we learn in our Mishnah? She's okay. She can remain with her second husband, even though witnesses come at a later time and tell us that she was held in captivity. Fine. Avud Ishmael says, I'll tell you what. It doesn't even have to be that she actually marries the second man, or I should say rather the kohen, her second husband being the kohen. As long as she self-reports, I was held in captivity and I was fine, and she checks it with Beis Din, means she's the one that tells Beis Din, and Beis Din now gives her heter and allowance to remarry, that's all you need. And even before she remarries, witnesses come and tell us that she was taken into captivity, Avu Adishmol says, she's good. She can marry a Kohen. The Gemara says, V'halo teitzei ketani. The Gemara says, yeah, but that doesn't fit in well with the language of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, she doesn't get a divorce. What does that mean? It means that she's already in the second marriage. Gemara says, lo teitzei me'atar rishon. Gemara says, no, that's not what it means. What it means is, lo teitzei, once Beis Din gives her a heter, she now has a heter to remarry. Because again, all this is based on self-reporting. So what the witnesses are doing, what the witnesses are doing is removing her credibility of her second statement. The credibility of her second statement that she was pristine is only empowered by the fact that she's the one giving the first statement, that she was held in captivity. what the witnesses are doing is they're just simply devaluing her credibility for that second statement, because now it's not just based on her own testimony, it's now based on the witnesses.
Initially, there were no witnesses. So when she gave her testimony, she was special.
Good, that's,
it was already established.
That's exactly,
she already made a home run.
So. Perfect. That's exactly the thought process of Avuah d'Shmuel.
But was she married before?
No, there are two different cases in the Mishnah. One case in the Mishnah is marriage, and the other one is Shvuya. So, in the case of marriage, obviously she was. In the case of Shvuya, she's arguing no. Tana Rabbanan. Armanish Beisi Vatarani, V'yeshli Edim Shatarani. So, let's say a woman says that she was under captivity, and she also is claiming that she was not violated. And there are, she also claims that she has witnesses that she was not violated. So we don't say, you know what, let's wait till the witnesses. So, but rather, we can allow her to marry a Kohen right away. Because again, if they gave her a license to remarry and then witnesses come, and the witnesses say, we don't know. She doesn't have to get a divorce. However, if witnesses come and not only report that she was held in captivity, but also report that they saw the captives force themselves upon her, so unfortunately in such a scenario, so she has to get a divorce because...
What's the status of those kids though?
They're halalim. No, we're talking about Shvuya. In other words, she was violated, therefore she's a zona, therefore the children are halalim.
The witnesses have to be Jewish. I mean, you cannot be the...
I'm saying they have to be kosher. They have to be kosher edim.
Not the violators themselves.
Well, hold on one second. Hani Shvuyasa de Asilin Naharda. Okay. This is a famous story. It's a tragic story, and the Gemara makes references to elsewhere. But this here, we're going to see the story now inside, in the original. The story starts off like this: there were captors who go to Narda, and it's even hard to imagine living in such a historical time period. Where basically the captors, they run wild. And they just basically wander from town to town with their captives with them. And so they come to the town of Narda. So the father of Shmuel says, you know what? As long as we have now the chance, so let's put guards by the captors so that they don't violate the women that are held in captivity. So Shmuel says to his father, V'arayinu man nitarayu. So the Shmuel says to his father, I don't understand. Meaning, okay, and for the time being, you're going to ensure that the captors are not going to be violating the girls that are held in captivity. But until this point in time, who ensured their... how do we know what happened before this point in time? Now, as the Gemara itself is going to point out, so because I do not want to say something critical, but it seems to be a little bit insensitive on his part to say that. Meaning, this is not a halachic issue. It's just for the time being, as long as we can, let's ensure that these women don't get violated. Amar Lei and Avuah d'Shmuel, the father of Shmuel, chastises his son. And he says to his son, Ilu benatech havyan mihavim ezalza b'huk ulei. If these were your daughters, would you be making this quote unquote halachic argument? Meaning, of course you're right. Of course we don't know what happened before this point in time. But for the time being, as long as we have the power, so let's make sure that the captors don't violate the daughters. I jumped ahead. Let's make sure that these captors don't violate these women. So have a kishkaga shiosim lefnei ashalit. Now you always have to be careful about what you say and the words that come out of your mouth, because the words that come out of your mouth are going to have value. They're going to have a koach, and even if you didn't mean it, but still words have power. Vishabiyam benase demar Shmuel. Shmuel's own daughters were taken into captivity. V'askinu la'arad Yisrael. So they were taken into captivity and they were brought to Eretz Yisrael. Ukmein l'shvuya me'abrai. So now, these daughters of Shmuel turn to the captors and they say the following to their captors. Look, apparently they're about to be released. Okay, for whatever reason, the Gemara doesn't give us the details. But they say to the captors, let's do the following. You stay outside the Beis Medrash. We're going to go inside and we're going to talk to Beis Din, and then you can come in. And these daughters are smart, and you'll see why. They go into the academy of Rabbi Chanina. And what do each one report? Self-reporting. Each one of them say, I was taken into captivity, but I'm Tahora. And the other one makes the exact same statement. Sharinu. And what does Rabbi Chanina do? Gives him a heter. Meaning, okay, ha-pesha asar, hu ha-pesha yitir. You're the one reporting that you were taken into captivity. No, they're telling the truth. And they're also going to be believed as well. Sharinu. Sof ol asu shvunayhu. And in afterwards comes the captors. And what are they going to say? We're the captors. We were the ones who held them in captivity. Now, Hedy, this goes back to your question, and I'm certainly intrigued. I don't have the exact answer. Meaning, are they Edom? Are they witnesses?
They're not Jewish.
Correct. Right. So, I'm not sure, but I understand the Gemara's basic point, and that is the following. I understand, but again, the Gemara over here is going to make a very specific point, and that's the following. Because at the time when they said it, they are the ones who are providing the information first, so therefore they're given credibility on the second statement. Despite the fact that afterwards their original statement is going to be corroborated by outside information, it doesn't matter. And the Gemara is going to make exactly this point. Amar Rabbi Chanina benan d'Amarai Ninu, these are the daughters of Poskim, meaning of people who know Halacha. And of course, Rabbi Chanina did a little more investigation, and he later discovered that these are the daughters of Shmuel. Havyan. Amale Rabbi Chanina, Rav Shema Baraba Pok Itapa Bekrovasech. So he turns to Rav Shema Baraba and he says, these are the daughters of Shmuel. Meaning, it's a good catch. Make a shidduch with one of your relatives. Amale Rabbi Chanina, Vaika Eidim Emendina Zayam. So Rav Shimon bar Abba was a little bit nervous. I understand. We can have witnesses coming and reporting that they were held in captivity. So Hashkemia Lesnu Kaman. So Rabbi Chanina says, yeah, but they're not here now. Meaning the potential witnesses who may come and may report, they're not here now. Edom Etzad Istan V'Teyaser. Witnesses are up in the north and we should be worried. Meaning, not a concern of ours. So time of the loss of Edom Haasu, Edom Mitzra. So the Gemara says, but wait a second, I'm not following this discussion. Okay, and what if the witnesses do come? Right, didn't we say in the name of Avu Yishmuel that once based in issues a heter, based on their self-reporting, so that's it, they have a heter? I'm Ravashi, Edit Tumah Itmar. Ravashi says the only thing that Rav Shimon bar Abba was worried about is the following. If witnesses come and report that they're held in captivity, that's nothing. That doesn't have any halachic concern. However, as we learned earlier this morning, if witnesses are the ones reporting that they were actually violated, the Gemara says that's something that obviously we have to respond to. That's something that we just simply can't ignore. Okay, so let's just quickly wrap it up. A lot of discussion today, a lot of cases today regarding two witnesses against two witnesses. The general rule is we go back and we rely on Chazaka. Then we went back to our Mishnah and we learned the last line of the Mishnah, which says that if she remarries based on her self-reporting and witnesses come afterwards. So is that going on the case number one of the Mishnah, case number two on the Mishnah? The Gemara had a debate about that issue. Then the ruling of Avu de Shmuel that says that even if these witnesses come before she get married, she still has permission to get married. Hapesh asur, hapesh heter. Once based on issues of heter, she now has a heter to remarry. That was a leniency of Avu de Shmuel. And finally, today we went over the, I'd say, famous story, because the Gemara references a number of times about how Shmuel's daughters were in fact taken into captivity, but they're the ones who reporting they were taken into captivity and therefore they were released. And the Rabbi Chanina and his court allowed them to remarry based on their self-reporting.